All right. Welcome to Motivational Monday. Today we are here to motivate you around the theme of trust. Trust into Jesus. For we hear in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, these are Jesus' words to you, to me, to this world. And these words make no sense to us in how we live our lives. But this is what he says. So if you don't like it, take it up with Jesus, all right? He says, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all those things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all of those things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. To which we say, What is this? Strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Again, a foreign concept in our minds when we go to work and we make resources so we can go put gas in our car and pay our rent or mortgage payment, keep the lights and electricity on, swing through the fast food line on the way to our job or on the way to a ministry meeting, whatever it is that you got as part of your schedule, on the way to soccer, swim club. You got a lot of commitments, but this text, I think, bathes us in a particular way of being in the world where those things don't consume us. Those things don't center us. Those aren't the things that we build our lives on. Well, yes, those are important. What we build our lives on is the kingdom of God. On a way of being in the world where our ultimate trust is in the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And so it's frightening when we kind of let go of those things at times, because we have needs, and we also have real needs that haven't been met. And when we don't know where to turn, we don't always know how to even get what we need. And so it can make us feel that sense of fear, being afraid. And Jesus knows this with his disciples, right? He's calling them into ministry, to going out and sharing the gospel with others and working for light and love and hope and joy and peace, to provide healing to those in need, to work for justice for those in need. And so he says over and over again, do not worry. And do not be afraid. And I know I've talked about this before, but telling somebody do not worry when they've been told something that's a pretty big deal to worry about seems disconnected from reality. But I think there's people in the world who show us and teach us, people who are going through certain medical treatments, people who have so little, and they sometimes show us what real faith is about. Hard to do that when the chips aren't down, maybe. When the chips are down, some just point to the true fact that they're radically counting on Jesus, and fear cannot grip their lives. And so Jesus tells his disciples to concentrate on the biggest thing, which is their relationship with God, because ultimately we can't save ourselves. We have to go to work. We have to roll up the sleeves. We got to be very active in creating life and keeping life going. But our life still is in God's hands, the beginning, the end, and all that is in between. And it's a world-changing point of view when we think and when we live that way. It might not take away our neediness, but maybe it will change how we see our neediness. Now, I'm going to share the voice of one here who was called into ministry. And as she discerned that call, she had to count on God to provide. And that providing often came through others. And even if you hear this and you're like, well, I'm not being called to seminary and to leadership in that way, perhaps you'll hear it how you've been called into your life's work and how it took others to help you along that way too. So I pray these words inspire you as we focus again on that theme of trust.
Bible study on Wednesday nights was my thing. As a 22-year-old, fresh out of college working my first real job, this worship service was the midweek jolt of energy I needed to make it through the last 2 days of a seemingly never-ending week. I was such a regular at Wednesday night Bible study, I felt like I could anticipate what was coming next in the service order. This held true until God surprised me at the end of service one night. Two youth pastors made an appeal for servants to join the youth ministry team. They mentioned there were over 1,000 youth across all church campuses and not hardly enough adults to serve them. In this moment, I felt like I was the only person in the megachurch sanctuary, and they were talking directly to me. I said to myself, serving the youth ministry? I've never even been in a real youth ministry. There's no way this is something I'm supposed to do. By the time the benediction concluded, I found myself outside the youth chapel, picking up the application to become a servant leader. God called, and I answered. Little did I know, picking up that application was the beginning step in the journey of a call that would guide my life's work. The Spirit made it clear my dream of becoming a superstar lawyer was not my destiny. A few years later, God's call to youth ministry guided me to seminary. I was rather terrified because I had no idea how I would earn money to survive since I left corporate America behind. Fear filled my gut until I remembered who called me. Jesus' affirmation, "Do not worry," saying, "What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?" sustains me as I pursue God's call to serve youth, now as a graduate, licensed minister, seminary professor in the making, and Children's Defense Fund advocate. Answering God's call that Wednesday night transformed my life in ways that continue to unfold each day. Is God calling you? If so, I encourage you to answer with a yes.
Amen. Let our yes be yes as we put our trust into Jesus. One of the statements that was said there that I want to hold on to and ruminate and wrestle and affirm is she said, "Fear filled me until I reflected on who called me." Who called me? And she said it was God who called her into that time and space, into that work, into that chapter of serving in that way. And then as you heard her story, it was multi-layered. It wasn't just serving in one way, but in a myriad of ways that all serve the highest vision of raising other people, lifting other people. And so her calling was to be a servant leader. And then in a myriad of ways, it was lived out. And I think the same is true for you. Wherever it is that God's taking you right now in your commute, in this chapter of life, you are called to leave fear behind, to leave the worries of the world behind, and to strive first for the kingdom of God. So a few questions to reflect on as you discern that today. What needs have made it difficult for you to trust God? What are the values that drive you in your life? The things you care about, no matter what? What needs or anxieties tend to distract you from your deepest values and why? And then recognizing your needs will help you find and embrace your calling. So what needs have led to new callings in your life? Because the calling can always be renewed and made new throughout different seasons. So recognizing your needs will help you to find and embrace your calling. What needs have led to new callings in your life? I want you to put a little more fuel on the fire. Add another log to that fire that's burning within you so that your trust can be in the Lord and that you can live fully into the callings to which you have been called, leaving worry and fear, the anxieties of this world behind. I think we need each other to do that. We don't do that alone. We're better together in that work. And so let's saddle up next to people and walk together as we explore ways to strive for the kingdom of God in this world. And all we say as the church is, may it be so, right? May it be so within each of us and within our community together. All right. Good day.